Hail, cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
We have a tweet, Josh. We have a tweet from our friend Block99, and he says, at Hail Cheaters, have you had enough yet?
Yeah, and this one I went ahead and responded to. I have had enough. I have had enough of the season. I know that for many people, today was a very satisfying day. You know, you brought in the bad Kone, the other Kone from Sunderland. And
he's like the Kone with the goatee. He's the evil one.
He's like the evil Bender. Yeah, the bad Kone. Or you had, I don't know, maybe you got five more from Jermaine Defoe or whatever. I don't know. It was just a...
Oh, man. I'm fanning myself while you say, ooh, five from Defoe. Do tell.
Yeah. I've had enough of this season. It's been a long... It has not been my season, and that was really summed up in two different ways this weekend. One was when Anthony Marshall didn't start away to Norwich, and then my differential choice was looking so good. I'd captained Diego Costa, and he scores in like the sixth minute of that match against Sunderland. I was like, oh, this is great. And then he comes down with a mysterious leg ailment. Sometime between the two between the first game week and the second, or the first match and the second.
Yeah, my suspicion was, much like Pedro's nose problem, that there may be sex play involved with Diego Costa's leg ailment.
Mm-hmm. So once that happens, which happens right before Tuesday's matches, and that news comes out, suddenly I am in a position of having to watch a West Ham match where, like, 98% of the managers in fantasy captain him, and it looked great until the 75th minute when he went for what was effectively 16 points, because so many people had him captained that he picked up, you know, two assists, two bonus points, and those were doubled for 16. It worked out even better for you because you had Winston Reid as a very cheeky punt defender.
Yeah, well, Winston Reid, not a goal all season, but historically he's been a man on set pieces for West Ham.
He's such a terrible player.
Excuse me? How is he a terrible player?
I do not rate Winston Reid. I would be playing James Collins over Winston Reid.
I'll be ready for this season to be done, so I can stop having to listen to you complain about all this garbage. Like, oh, Martial, what a travesty. He scores two goals against West Ham. My season is snake bitten.
Think how many he could have scored if he'd played in both matches.
Yeah.
So it was, it's been a very long season. It's been fun for some managers. It hasn't been fun for me. I'm ready for this. The problem is, you know, it hasn't been fun for me since about game week five, and I've had 33 more weeks to go after that. So
I'm not trying to put you too much into the flames here, Josh, but just for argument's sake, describe what a fun season would be for you. What would it take for it to be a fun season for Josh?
Well, I need to be not about 120 points down on my mini league 5 weeks into the season. I think that would be helpful. And I need for all of the bandwagon players to not consistently perform week in and week out for pretty much the entire season. It would also be right nice if all of the bandwagon cap. The problem is, I am the kind of manager.
Can I jump in here and say maybe it would be fun for you if you jumped onto some of those bandwagons at some point?
It's just not my style. You know, I mean, some people have a
iconoclast Josh Landon here.
I'm not saying I'm a huge iconoclast, but I just, you know, I mean, certainly there have been many times this season when I've captained Harry Kane or Sergio Aguero or any number of, you know, very conventional captain choices. But in general, I prefer not to go with the sort of overwhelming favorite. It's the way I prefer to play. I've won my league twice in the last 4 years playing this way. It's a proven strategy for me. It's not for everybody, but it works for me. And so
You're a little bit rock and roll. You're the Jurgen Klopp of fantasy football.
All right. I can feel the sarcasm coming off you, but I've had a couple of very, very strong finishes playing the style in the past. And so in a season where, you know, all of the conventional choices pretty much panned out week in and week out, it's not going to work out very well for me.
Fair enough.
How about you? I'll turn it back around on you. I mean, you've had fun this season?
Yeah, I have had fun this season. It's been definitely a challenging year because, I mean, the league sort of reflects the fantasy game in that you're forced to gamble on players on Leicester City. You're not used to that. You're not used to Riyad Mahrez being the one that's dictating games week in, week out. So it's definitely been a year that's challenged the conventional thinking. So to throw it back at you to say, oh, yeah, it's all conventional. Well, I would argue not.
I've had Mahrez since game week two. I mean, it's not like my team is full of Dia Mercy Milpacanis or something like that. Yeah. But I just think that, you know, in a typical season, what happens is, you know, player gets hot and everyone jumps on them, especially new managers, people who are less experienced. And good managers. I mean, when a player is in form, everyone should pick him up. But typically, that player moves out of form, and the managers who adjust quicker, and that typically means they put their money back into the kind of blue chip players. They tend to be the ones who succeed long term. But this year, if you flocked to all of the kind of lower priced, I mean, I love the Leicester City story. I think it's great, but all you had to do was pick three or four players early on this season and ride them for almost the first 20 weeks of the season. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not arguing that if you finish first in the Hail Cheater Super League or our personal league or any other place, or first overall for that matter, that you haven't done a much better job than I have this year. You certainly have. And it is a flaw in my FPL managerial style that I want to play in a way that I want to be rewarded for my cleverness. You know, I want to pick players other people don't pick, captain them, and then be rewarded for it, and then get credit for being so creative. I'm pretty much laid it on the table here.
I feel like I have Alex Neal on the podcast right now. Adam Beasley tweeted at us. He retweeted a Premier League tweet in reference to our great hashtag Free Mobacani movement, which had a banner day today. Free Mobacani.
Yeah, that's true.
Alex Neal.
I resent being lumped in with Alex Neal, by the way. I would never have been so stubborn as to hold on to a shit player like Cameron Jerome.
But here you are.
Earlier today that it cost them the season.
Sure. And Alex Neal, he's quoted as saying, "We've missed opportunities, made mistakes at important times, and in hindsight, I've made poor decisions." And that may as well be Josh Landon saying that.
That's right. Exactly. You know, this happened 2 years ago too. I think you wouldn't have this experience yet, but when you do, after you win the league, I think you get a little cocky after a while. You know, you just think that you are like that every move you make is going to work out perfectly. And it's an arrogance. So I think I was really too arrogant the first 10 weeks. I mean, I eventually brought in Jamie Vardy. Somehow I haven't had Ozil the entire season. I mean, that's like if you want to like point to one thing, it's insane. What manager in the right mind would not have Mesut Ozil for any stretch of the season this year? Obviously, like, he's fallen off the last 10 weeks or so, but the first, like, you know, 25, he was unbelievable.
I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here. I really don't know what to say. Anyway, so how did your game week actually shape out, Josh? Game week 37.
It shaped out fine. I finished with 77 points. I took a 4-point hit. Wow. I dropped two players that both scored goals, and I brought in – what's that?
Oh, I'm just doing the sad trombone.
I didn't expect you to be such a sore winner. You should be happy today. I sent you money today.
Yeah.
I don't know. The week didn't – you know, I got 77 points, which is it looks like it's 22 points above the average, but given – you know, the scores that I'm seeing in the Hail Cheaters mini league and elsewhere, it was not a great week for me. How about you, Brendan? Do you have a better week?
Oh yeah, I had a much better week than you. I scored 76 points. I took an 8-point hit. Of course, I dropped Jesse Lingard, who took a 4-point hit to drop Jesse Lingard to bring in Willian. That was a big power move for me. I think that netted a minus one there.
When did you make your moves? Because I did look at your team. I made my moves pretty late on Friday, late New York time. So it was like around midnight or so. And it looked like you hadn't made any moves yet. So you made three after midnight?
Well, yeah, I was on the Baja Peninsula in Mexico at the time. So I had what sort of time difference did I have on you there? Maybe like 3-4 hours?
Mm-hmm.
No, I made my transfers much later than you. It was probably 4 a.m. I think I made my transfers.
Wow. So you were out drinking or something. Are we taking that long to decide?
No, I wanted to know. I wanted to know how many transfers you were going to make.
Uh-huh. I know you, I figured you were waiting, but, you know, it worked out well for you. I mean, in the end, you know, with Payet.
Yeah. Yeah. I captained Payet. So he gets 24 points. Yeah. There was a moment during that West Ham game where you were sort of, I knew I would hear from you after the second goal from Martial. It's always sort of a standoff on GChat with us mid game until some sort of dam breaks. And if the dam breaks in your favor, you'll reach out. And usually I will never reach out.
It's true. It's a one sided thing. It's funny because we've been friends for a very long time. See each other all the time. You know, going back to, we actually, for people who haven't listened to like the first episode of the podcast, Brad and I have known each other since college. I mean, he's a little bit older than me, but I certainly, you know, we've met each other in the early 2000s, and then we've been in New York for about 10 years together. We have a very uncompetitive friendship in every way except for FPL. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, I there's really nothing that I feel competitive with you about other than this, right?
Yes.
Friends, relationships, you know, career, all that stuff. Never, never think about it. Only wish the best for you.
Yeah.
But FPL is very, it's weirdly competitive for us.
It can get heated.
As you can get heated on the podcast.
Well, I think a lot of people listening can probably relate to that in that. And the fantasy league is something that it sort of lays dormant in our lives, right? Like fantasy is, you know, depending on who you are, it's something that you're reticent to talk about. You're happy to talk about football with your friends or did you watch the game? But when it comes down to talking about the fantasy element, you can really get in the weeds.
Yeah.
But deep down, you're just harboring this sort of like this feeling of, God damn it, I want to win.
And I think that the first, you know, I mean, I don't know if you feel the same way, but, you know, certainly the first 30-odd weeks of the season, I mean, it's competitive, but it's not intense. You know, it's still sporting, you know? And then I think, like, the last couple weeks of the season, I think that's when it gets – maybe it was really game week 34. That's when it feels really intense. Yeah, that's when it feels like things really, you know, kicked up a notch.
Well, I think we'll get to this as we actually start to strategize and talk about the people who have been tweeting at us and posting on our Facebook page about here we are at the death in the season. It's either do or die time. So at this point in the season, like you're saying, Josh, either it gets super competitive because finally the stakes are raised and it's time to play the game, or by this point it's all been decided.
Right.
So come game week 30, maybe you're like 200, 250, 300 points behind. It doesn't matter. But odds are, if you're a competitive player, it's still going to be close coming into the stretch. And that's where it gets awkward to meet you at Yankee Stadium for an NYC game, knowing that Martial has just scored a goal and he's going to get a bonus point and it's going to edge you out on that head-to-head.
That's right. I what do you think? I mean, last year we did overall points in our little head-to-head. This year we did the head-to-head matches. I can't imagine either one of us would. I mean, the way it worked out this year was, you know, you end up winning the league with, I think, 3 weeks left or so. I like the head-to-head, actually, but I guess it was a little anticlimactic the way it worked out this year.
Well, I suppose it is, and I think it could go either way. I'd be curious to hear what our listeners, what their experiences are head to head versus if it's just you playing against one other person, what works best, head to head or classic? Because
and the backstory here is that 2 years ago we decided there just wasn't quite enough juice in it. We weren't quite satisfied our competitive things.
If we weren't close enough to ending our friendship, absolutely, over very petty stuff.
Then we decided let's add another league that costs even more than the league we're currently in. It's just the two of us, mano a mano.
So I think depending on the season, the worst case is you play classic and after 15 weeks somebody jumps out ahead with a Sergio Aguero captaincy, right? and then it takes all the juice out,
because that happened last year, and that's why we decided to do the head-to-head, right? I think that, right. It wasn't game by game, but it was, you know, like early 30s or something. It was like, well, it's like 70, you know, it was like far enough away that it wasn't super competitive, you know,
right?
Much like
right.
this year, where I think you were up like 8, you know, 17-11 lead or something like that.
Yeah, you made a pretty good run here at the end, you're still in the midst of it. But the head to head still gives hope to those, like, you can still adjust your team late on in the season to balance that head to head competition. Right. So I feel like I always would fall on the side of head to head just to keep it interesting.
I think so too. I mean, cause it made even game week one was interesting because of the head to head. There's always a little something.
The there. Infamous Theo Walcott game week one.
Yeah, that's right. That was the one where I remember, cause we were at a friend's bachelor party and it was Saturday, matches were done. And I had a slight lead and you were like, I think you had a couple of players to go the next day. You said, I feel pretty confident that I'm going to win this versus this game.
Oh, God.
All right. We have talked about ourselves far long enough.
This is a bit of a victory lap for the Always Cheating podcast, I feel like.
That's true. I kind of.
Not so much a victory lap. It's just like we're just drunk on.
Yeah,
it's on 37 game weeks at this point.
Yeah, it's late at night. I don't know why I'm not actually drinking. Maybe I'll take a break and go grab a beer in a second here.
Sure, I'm drinking a Back in Black Black IPA from the 21st Amendment Brewery in San Francisco, California.
All right, well, you pause the podcast. I'm going to go grab a beer. All right, I am back.
And all right, Josh is back. What do you have in hand there, Josh?
I have a crisp lager from the 6 Point Brewery. It's a Brooklyn brewery, one that people who live in Brooklyn know quite well. No brewery in Brooklyn is better at branding than 6 Point. I mean, they sponsor like basically every music festival.
They are the Premier League of beers within the borough of Brooklyn, NYC. Yeah, let's bring it back to actual fantasy football and the Hail Cheaters Super League.
Yeah, just updated a couple of moments ago. Actually, we were recording this kind of late in the evening, and so we were also hoping that this would get updated, and it finally did. I don't know why it took 5 full hours for them to update after there's a couple substitutions. The site is a little slow. I mean, you know, like we could all chip in. You know, we could each pay $2 this year, and they could buy some better servers.
Up the bandwidth.
You know? Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's run through it real quick because it's actually very tight at the top. The top two spots. Keep Calm and Climb Up, Muhammad Al-Qiyasi. Has 83 points for the game week, 2,333 points overall. I think that puts him at 130 or so in the overall standings. I was looking a moment ago.
125 overall for Muhammad Al-Qiyasi.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. So 125 for Muhammad Al-Qiyasi. Laith Kassab has 86 points and has narrowed it to a 1 point deficit. It's 2,332.
My God, my head's exploding just thinking about game week 38 right now.
In third and fourth, you have Lloyd Parker and Calvin Chan. They're about they're 18 points back of first place. Mark Johnson, Stone Cold Stunner. I feel like Mark Johnson made a little climb. He was a little lower. Yeah. So well done to you, Mark. He's in fifth place. Gerd Muller's Melchester Rovers, a new addition to the top 10, I believe. Although I think he's been there before, but he's climbed back. And so he has 122 points on the game week.
Blockbuster of a week.
Yeah,
there
kind of rode all of the I think especially helped by Patrick Van Aanholt, who in hindsight I can't believe I didn't bring him in. I mean, that's such an obvious So worth. I had the money. I could have turned Gabriel into Van Aanholt so easily. And,
yeah. It's always tough to burn points on a defender. That's such a gamble. But PVA, given the circumstances, I mean, Sunderland is just, what a story. Sunderland the last.
I know.
Just vintage Sunderland the last couple of seasons. They do turn it on at the end, and PVA did. He did the same thing last season, but. It's like, do you bet on that? It's crazy.
But I know, and the only shame of it really is that it renders game week 38 effectively. Well, we'll get into this a little bit later because I kind of put the call out as to what are we rooting for in game. Let's say that you're kind of in the position I'm interested. You've already paid off your bookies. You're done for the year. Why are you watching game week 38? You know, relegation's decided. Top four is effectively decided. I mean, I'm just not enough. If I grew up in the UK and I was an Arsenal fan or Spurs fan for life, I could get more worked up about who finished second and third, Arsenal or Spurs. You know, like right. I know that in the Premier League era, Arsenal never finished below Spurs, but who cares? You know, just like I can't get excited about it.
Here's kind of where I'm at for game week 38. So imagine in reverse, you go to like a Ultimate Fighting Championship, a UFC sort of title bout. It's all about that title bout. I feel like the title bout has already been decided. Therefore, prior to, there are a bunch of non-title card matches happening.
Right.
You don't know who's fighting. All you can hope for is that there's just a crazy beatdown. So for Game Week 38, I just want to see some crazy-ass beatdowns. I want to see some crazy score lines.
That's fair. And I guess, I mean, Man City could lose. And you know, there's still a bit of a battle for fourth place. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, Swansea have nothing to play for, although they played quite well. Maybe they're playing to keep their manager. I think, you know, he hasn't signed a contract for next year. I feel like
they just announced today that Guardiola is on for another season.
Oh, is that so? Okay, so
yep.
So they don't even have that to play for.
Nope.
Really nothing to play for. Man City have everything to play for. And all they have to do is get a point. One single point is enough for them to get
fourth place. Point.
Yeah, and if they win and Arsenal lose, which would be just so hilarious, then they would actually finish third, doesn't finish fourth. But it doesn't matter anyways, because even if Liverpool win the Europa League and get a Champions League spot for next year, that spot will not come from – it's not like a couple of years ago when Spurs finished fourth and Chelsea got the spot because they won the Champions League. Right. This year, it's just a fifth spot for Liverpool. And right. I'm really excited about that Europa League final, by the way. That's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sevilla going for three in a row.
I wouldn't read too much into the Liverpool performance against Chelsea today. It's just a different sort of monster that they were playing against Chelsea, and Chelsea's playing some kind of football right now, and I don't know who for or why, but they are.
I agree. And you know, it was kind of funny that goal right at the end of that Chelsea Liverpool match was so. I feel like there was a kind of poetic justice there for Cesar Azpilicueta owners. After somehow picking up all three bonus points in a 3-2 loss.
Oh, classic Dave right there. What the hell is that? All right, that is enough for our attorney general, what's her name, Loretta Lynch, to investigate the FPL system to find out what's going on with the bonus points.
Those points because he decided not to play defense in that match. I mean, you should never get three bonus points if you're a defender and three goals are conceded in your team. Every time, I mean, I actually watched that whole match. I mean, he was never in his defensive end. I didn't even think on corner kicks he was at the defensive end. He was in an offside position at the other end. I mean, the guy was just looking for goals and assists in that match.
Okay, we're getting crazy sidetracked this podcast, right. but I have one last question about Cesar Azpilicueta.
All right,
there was a vine that was posted on Twitter of both teams arriving in the locker room at Anfield today, Chelsea Liverpool.
Okay,
Christian Benteke and Eden Hazard link up and they're talking, which makes perfect sense because they're both Belgian. They're talking about, hey, you know, what hotel are you staying at, and all this sort of thing. And then Cesar Azpilicueta walks by, and he leans in and he shakes Christian Benteke's hand like they've known each other for some time.
Interesting.
And I'm racking my brain as to what the link would be between Azpilicueta and Benteke.
Maybe they stayed in a hotel together in Brazil. Or like,
do you think
maybe
they share a same ex-wife or something like that?
They could share an agent.
They could share an agent. Ooh, yeah, I like it. Yeah.
That's probably the most likely. They share an agent. The agent like took them out to dinner the night before or something like that.
All right, Josh, I think you got so far as to Gerd Meld. Gerd Müller, not to be Gerd confused Müller. With no, Gerd Meld.
Yeah, no, and there's no umlaut over the Müller like the original Gerd Müller. No. Unless it's him. Maybe it's maybe that is the real Gerd Müller, and he's in our league. That'd be fantastic.
I was actually thinking of Gerd Meld, who was Ayel Nabumbu at one point top of the league very recently and has dropped to 20th place.
Yeah, let's not talk about it. Let's let Gare melt.
Sorry, Gare. Sorry, Gare. I'm sure you have a happy and fulfilling life outside of fantasy, Gare.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, I'm like 200th. So, 200th and I'm like 100,000th in the league. I'm not doing that poorly, but it's a very competitive league. Okay, so anyway, Cosmelo 11, Richard Cosmelo in 7th place. Gam Chester United, Graham McDonald. These guys are actually almost all. I was going to call him a friend of the pod, which he is, but nearly everyone I feel like in the top 25 or so has been sending us messages on Facebook and Twitter
and below.
Yeah, and Gmail. Chris Morin, of course, someone who sent us a ton of messages over the years. Derrida Zlatan is in 9th place, and Phil Carter is in 10th. So, still really competitive. And in fact, Phil Carter's in 10th, and he's still only 36 points back of first place, which is probably too much to make up. But I will ask you this, Brandon, because you have a key question here in our running order.
I do.
That key question is, how much ground is too much ground to make up?
I asked this question because I saw on the FPL Reddit thread earlier today, somebody said, I'm in second place in my mini league with a 40-point gap. Can I do it in game week 38? And there was just myriad responses of like, yes, no, maybe, here are the things that you have to do. And it got me thinking, my initial reaction was 40 points, no way, can't do it. The only way that happens is in this modern age that we live in where we have triple captaincy chips, if you still have your triple captain...
I think even with no chips, it can be done.
Somebody on this thread did mention, okay, so, I mean, it seems a bit of a joke to mention the Everton defense, but if you captain Leighton Baines and he gets two goals and a clean sheet, that's guaranteed 3 bonus, effectively.
Yeah.
And you captain him, that's 40 points.
Exactly. Or, Olivier Giroud at home to Aston Villa okay. So the reason I bring up Giroud though is because what you'd have to do if you're 30 points behind, and let's say that it's just a head to head league and you don't, because part of the concern here sometimes is that, especially if you're in a money league, second place still typically has a fair amount of money attached to it. So you don't want to just completely blow up your team and then have the third place guy come in and take over.
Sure.
I had this problem a couple years ago in the league where I was trying to overcome our friend Daniel ended up winning the league. But there was some – I think it was you. Someone was like just far enough – just close enough to me that I couldn't just burn 8. I had to – so let's say that's not a factor and you're just going for first place, you're gunning for first. I think what you have to do is look at their team, and any transfers you make have to be players that you have to be transferring out players they have and bringing in new. You can't have the same players as them,
Right.
Because it's not just about you getting points from your players, it's about them having the bad luck of having the players they own not perform.
Right.
You have to get very lucky. Yeah. But I think it could be done. I mean, let's say I remember Theo Walcott. Didn't he score a hat trick in the last game of the season last year away to Sunderland?
He did, and I think somebody did the stat of the last 3 players last season to score hat tricks were Sergio Aguero. Who's the last person to score a hat trick like in the league this year? It basically mirrored this season last season, and it left the open slot for Theo Walcott to again. Create basically the hat trick of hat tricks mirroring each other.
Right.
You do have to get lucky. And I think you're right. You can't get caught up in this is the game that you play all season. Like I have to cover the balance of what do I cover and what do I how do I differentiate? Right. And at this point, it's got to be all differentiation.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I captained Diego Costa this game week, right? I mean, for me, I want to make up some ground, and I don't care where if I finish fifth or eighth or whatever in my mini league, who cares? Never remember where I finished.
So, I mean, that was the punt that was immediately going so well for you. I mean, it was like within 10 minutes that Costa scores.
I know. And I was even when the six was fine, because I know how bad that Liverpool. I actually think he really would have played well, in the Liverpool match if he'd been able to, if he'd played, because their center backs are terrible. Kolo Touré and Dejan Lovren. I mean, these guys will not be playing for Liverpool next season. There's just no chance.
It's a car salesman and effectively a French mayonnaise French mustard.
So he could have picked up, a goal and an assist in that match, let's say. He's racked up quite a few assists this season. Goal and an assist, 2 points. I mean, that could be 12 points. I could have picked up like 18 points all told across two matches from Costa.
Right.
So it was just bad luck. It's okay. That's
hey, it's okay.
But I will say, I think that if I were making up ground – and I was looking to captain a proper differential. I think I would be looking. I mean, I think Leighton Baines is really interesting. Someone like that. Yeah. I think midfielders though are kind of the way to go because you just get more points for goals. You can get that clean sheet bonus point. They tend to get more bonus points in general. Yeah. So you're more likely to get a 20-point haul from a midfielder than I think anywhere else.
It's true. It's a bigger gamble with the clean sheet. So if you're a defender, you're relying on the clean sheet, which is a gamble in and of itself for that 4 points. But a midfielder, right, you're still going to get a point for a clean sheet, and the goals are worth even more. So midfielder, split the difference, better odds.
So let's go into it, though. Let's say, okay, might as well just do it over. Let's just do it right now, Brandon.
Okay. All right.
So,
sounds like I'm on my honeymoon right now.
Game week 38.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Last game week.
All right. Let's do it. Let's just get it all. Let's leave it all out on the table.
Let's try to find. Okay. Let's say that we're. I mean, it's slightly okay. I'm going to remove myself from the equation here, but I'm actually about 30 points behind you. So I guess committed to this.
Are you thinking about? You thinking? I mean, obviously, you're thinking about catching me.
Well, yeah, I don't. Not really, to be honest. I just don't think. I mean, to be honest, making up 30 points, 40 points, it's hard to do, and I've lost a little of my will. My willpower is gone.
Before we get into it, about that though, everyone wants to know if you'll, and maybe we'll get to this later on, if you're going to pick up Mobacani. And, I'm not – maybe that thinking could of, actually make up the 30 points that we're talking about.
Thinking about it very seriously.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And, so let's just have that – let's thread that through the podcast here.
Yeah. Okay. So if I were to look at some differential captains for game week 38, I think Eden Hazard sticks out. Very low ownership. High price. Hard for people to bring in. He looked great in the Liverpool match, looked pretty good in the Sunderland match too, could definitely score two or three goals.
That goal he scored against Liverpool was, his goals just like crazy get more and more brilliant as these dying weeks go by.
Yeah. Okay. So he's one that I would look at. I think that.
But what is your prediction of how that Leicester team is going to line up? And it's a really tough one to call because it's going to be a weird game.
That is true.
Former champions, reigning champions, is going to be the guard of honor. Maybe Leicester feels a weakened lineup because they already had their trophy ceremony and all their big players got their due. Maybe they feel the weakened lineup.
I don't think so. I can you imagine them not starting Vardy and Mahrez in game week 38,
Vardy still has to publicly shame as many people as he can, apparently, on the field.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Fuchs, you're really not going to start him.
Danny Drinkwater's got to get a run out.
Well, Drinkwater will be back in, you know, because he
Exactly.
So he'll definitely be playing.
So I
think that'll be that's the match I'm most looking forward to from a pure watch standpoint. Yeah. Although I also have some players in those matches in that match. That's one that sticks out. I think that Leighton Baines is not one that sticks out for me, just because I think that Everton team is trying to get Roberto Martinez fired pretty clearly by not trying at all. And I think that there's too good of a chance of them conceding goals. I mean, God, like Romelu Lukaku. I mean, neither of us brought him in or really even really seriously thought about doing it, but he was. It's unbelievable how poor he was.
Yeah, I mean,
complete non-factor in both of those matches.
And it's a testament to what a shit manager Martinez is right now, because there's nothing working there. There is a disconnect between Lukaku and the midfield. So either that system is being poorly managed, or Lukaku just doesn't want to connect. Therefore, don't play him.
Yeah.
So whatever's going on there is sabotage, and you need to stay away from it.
What about Kevin De Bruyne away to Swansea?
I think that's a great pick for a differential, because obviously the bigger
shot.
Yeah, a lot of people have dropped him because of poor performance, but he will. I mean, it seems obvious that he will play. City have to get at least a point from this match to guarantee top four, which I think they will do, and they'll fill the strongest possible lineup. De Bruyne, I don't know. He's just not been the guy that was promised to us, like the first.
He's not the De Bruyne we were looking for.
These are not the De Bruynes you were looking for.
I feel like I know when I've said the line that you're going to make the name of the podcast.
It's too long. I think that might long. Be too long.
What about
but it's true. Everyone will captain Aguero in this game week, and De Bruyne seems like the sensible alternative. So I'm curious about Sunderland is going up against Watford. Like Watford, I'm sorry, I'm addressing an open letter to Watford. You are garbage. You suck.
Even Troy Deeney.
Troy Deeney,
the Brazilian genius Troy Deeney.
It was at least vindication for anybody who told you to captain Troy Deeney in this game week that he got a goal and an assist against Norwich. But to capitulate in that way I'm going against everything that Always Cheating stands for, because Mbappé was let free. He was let to roam free against Watford, and he would have done the same thing to Barcelona, I'm sorry to say.
We're going to get to the Mbappé thing in a second here.
My point being is, I don't know, maybe Defoe definitely got cock-blocked in many ways today against – who did Sunderland play? Everton.
Yeah.
And he might be looking to – that guy is always scheming. Defoe is a schemer. He's a confidence trickster. He's always looking to find his way into that Euro Cup team. He's basically going to be picketing all week to get into the squad and to score as many goals as possible.
Yeah, I think you're right there. But I wouldn't be playing – I wouldn't be captaining Defoe. He couldn't score. I'm still talking like we're trying to make up 30, 40 points here. I mean, Captain Defoe in a normal week is probably fine. I mean, there's a very good chance. I think he will score away to Watford. Okay. So the Mbappé thing, let's actually move on. Let's move right on to it. Okay.
Okay. Everyone already knows what they're going to do in game week 38. The only reason they're listening to Always Cheating right now is what's up with Mbappé.
I'm going to lay all the Mbappé cards on the table here. Okay.
Do it.
Two things are important about Damosi Mbappé. The first thing is that he has an absolutely wonderful name, and it's Deo Mercy Mbappé. It's eight syllables. I love saying that combination of eight syllables out loud. I say it out loud, you know, I just you know, saying it on the podcast is fantastic. It's just it's great. But the other thing is, when we first started talking about Mbakani, you know, he was brought in before the first transfer window closed, and we started talking about him because I thought that he had scored everywhere he'd been. You know, he's kind of a Troy Deeney type. You know, every level he played at, he'd been a goal scorer. And I thought this guy is cheap and he's going to be a real differential, and he's the kind of player that could actually keep Norwich up. And I mean, listen back on game week 3, we're not even making fun of him yet. You know, like, we're treating it seriously.
It's only we never made fun.
But you know, at some point it became kind of a joke to bring him up because he wasn't starting at all. He was never playing.
It was a crime.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but we brought him up to begin with because he is a good player. I mean, we don't talk about who's that guy on Aston Villa who's like, his name's like Serving Tray or something like that.
He got the Serving Tray.
He got the assist a couple weeks ago.
Toner cartridge.
Toner cartridge. That's right, toner. So, Toner picked up a clean sheet this week. He's on fire. all right, so yeah, it wasn't like our friend Toner cartridge on Aston Villa. It's totally different situation. So it really is ridiculous that you know, I mean, Cameron Jerome is not a good player. You know, Cameron Jerome has bounced in and out of the Premier League for years and years and years, and has never been good. And was good in the Championship last year because he found his level. He is, you know, he's good enough to. He rose to the level of his incompetence, you know, which was the Premier League. Yeah. But when he was, you know, playing in the Championship, he was fantastic. That's why certain players like to hang out there. That's why Stuart Downing was, you know, thrived Middlesbrough.
Yeah,
you know,
Richie Dillat.
So once they finally unleashed him, and he scored two goals this match. It was like, yeah, of course. Like, what would have happened if you'd done this all season and he had? I mean, Jerome. It was only a match or two ago, and Jerome was absolutely terrible. I mean, just real. I mean, was it the he did play in the Man U match, right?
Name any match in which he played, and you'd be talking about that match.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say. I mean, you know, I don't. I had nothing personal against Cameron Jerome, other than that.
No. Yeah. Exactly. It's a real shame. Nothing would have brought us greater joy than Cameron Jerome lighting up the Premier League.
Yeah,
the delight of all the Norwich boys and girls.
Yeah, yeah. So just to run through some of the Twitter and Facebook comments that received after, this is kind of while it was happening. The first goal got it started, but the second goal was when things really went nuts. Rose Dower. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Rosdower.
Yeah, I think that's right. Rose Dower at Camusdino.
First wrote, all caps, no exclamation points, infinite Mbakani. And then later wrote, age of Mbakani with 4 exclamation points.
Which is a reference to, I think, all the Avengers movies or some such thing.
Exactly. I wish that he had done, what's the newest Captain America?
Mbakani Civil War. Or Days of Future Mbakani, maybe? I'm thinking more like Bourne movies, like the Mbakani Supremacy.
Mbakani Identity, yeah.
Yeah, Mbakani Ultimatum.
Phil Carter said, trustee both triple captain Mbakani. Colin Bothwell wrote, please tell me that you got him. Suraj Garesh said,
hey, Suraj.
You're still bringing in a captain of Mbakani, though, right? And so on. I think that's only a sample of all.
I love how everybody basically looked to us like you guys were the only people like crazy enough to actually bring in Mbakani.
One of the true highlights of the season is anytime anything good happens to Mbakani, we get a lot of. I also tweeted out like 7 Mbakani tweets over the course of the day.
If anyone remembers the Always Cheating podcast for anything, it will be thank you to Dio Mercy Mbakani. So we basically owe as much to him as he owes to us.
And now he's being relegated, so we really he's our lifeline, and now he's going to be the championship.
We should be his agent.
I mean, if you're watching the Champions League next year, though, I mean, I would be surprised if he wasn't
championship.
Champions League. No, okay, I'm sure that Real and Barca will be will be looking at him.
Yeah, he can play, have half a brain.
That's the nice thing about McConaughey is he can play, you know, keeper. I mean, if Keeler Navas leaves, sure, I think that he could fill in easily.
Hey, I will say this: if Alex Song can go to Barcelona, you better believe that Dea Mercy McConaughey can go to Barcelona.
Touche. So good on you, Mo Pacani. I know we've like totally lost the plot here, but we also had
the most bananas podcast we've done all season.
Yeah, we're a little loopy. We had a call for our Twitter and Facebook questions. We had a couple, a little less than usual. I think everyone's kind of, they're like ready to walk away from this season. but Jim Payne says, thanks for helping me on the learning curve in my first season. Aiming for the top 100 in next season's Hail Cheaters Super League.
Dare to dream.
Yes, thank you to Jim because he's written a lot of – seems like a really nice guy. Fellow birder, in fact. As you know, Brandon, I'm a bit of a bird nut. And so I've talked in, you know, on Twitter on my personal account.
Oh, wow. I don't want to know about these weird personal avenues you have with our listeners. It's creeping me out.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks, Jim. And Kevin Mann wrote friend, triple captain Van Aanholt, second in our mini league. I was first. Brave hashtag differential could have won it. No, I mean, if he was second in the mini league and just overtook first for Kevin Mann, surely Kevin Mann can still take one of our chosen differentials.
Yeah, come on, Kevin Mann. You can do it. Don't lose hope.
Exactly. Just bring in Kevin De Bruyne. This is the Josh Lannan guarantee. Kevin De Bruyne is going to score in that Swansea match. I feel very confident about it.
Okay.
Josh Storky at Josh Stork says, replacement for Lanzini, approximately $5 million, or keep him. I have two free transfers and I'm playing the all out attack. We'll be swapping Milner for Tadic for the other. So, kind of mangled that one, but basically
I follow you. So yeah. Basically he's got two free transfers. One of those he's already committed Milner to Tadic, which I think is thumbs up all the way. Seems sure. Great. And what is his other transfer? Should he throw Lanzini on the chopping block? Yeah. I would be very hesitant to get rid of Lanzini. They're playing a Stoke team that has clearly been on the beach for a while now, and Lanzini looked really good in West Ham's last match. Obviously a different sort of match for West Ham there, but I assume Lanzini will play, and Stoke's defense is no good. They have a terrible keeper.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really can't think of anyone for around $5 million that I would rather have. Possibly a Wobi for Arsenal, assuming he starts. You know, that one maybe. I don't know. There aren't a lot of you know, just in that, given the fixtures for this final week, there aren't a lot of great $5 million options, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, and the guarantee that Iwobi would do better than Lanzini,
Lanzini looks so, he looks so good in that Man U match. You know, I mean, he's like, he looked transfer in worthy in that Man U. He actually almost had a second assist, too. I don't know if you, I'm all the Andy Carroll owners out there must be still so upset because he played a beautiful pass onto Carroll, one on one. Made a complete hash of it. Yeah, that was, you know, I will say I had a pretty I had a pretty overall unlucky game week. I know Marshall did come through for me in the West Ham match, but at least I didn't bring in Andy Carroll and captain him as somebody did. That was a very tough break. And in fact, the guy who is in second place in our league did just that. And it would be like a 4-point difference or so if he hadn't done that. So yeah, Carroll definitely screwed a lot of people this game week.
Yeah, I'm having trouble actually getting Lanzini into my lineup for game week 38, which is troubling me. So I think that goes to say, keep him if you can. The fact that,
I think I agree with you there. Maybe you can make a defensive move or a defensive transfer or something like that. If it's your last transfer of the season, bring in a new goalkeeper. If it's free, use it. On Facebook, Scott Gill says, have a bench boost left if anyone wants it. and he also said, is your favorite player? Oh, we forgot a Mbappé question. I can't believe this. Is your favorite player Mbappé an option given that Everton have simply not shown up for 2 months? Absolutely. I am very seriously considering bringing in Mbappé. Very seriously consider captaining Mbappé. I think I will be held to the, like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be captain him in the end for this game week, but I think there's a very good chance I will bring him in. I actually think he's a very good option for this game week. I mean, I think
he's finally legitimized in your eyes. This is great.
Yeah. So I think I'm definitely thinking about bringing him up a county.
I am fast forwarding to Mobakani actually listening to this episode and tears slowly developing in the corners of his eyes as he hears you say, no, he's actually a serious option.
poor Mobakani. Well, he knows he hasn't been starting. He knows.
Yeah. He's on to bigger and better things.
Siraj, another question from Siraj says, Crystal Palace.
Hey, Siraj.
Crystal Palace might rest a few key players for the FA Cup final. This could make Southampton players like Tadic or Mane interesting options. Yeah, we talked about Tadic already. I think he looked great. Couldn't really be bothered the first 35 weeks. Kind of like Eden Hazard. Couldn't be bothered for the first 34, 35 weeks, but has really come on the last few weeks.
I mean, his stats have been insane. 2 goals and 6 assists in the last 4 matches, I think.
You know, we didn't talk about Mane, but, you know, Mane is always an interesting option for huge point returns. I mean, famously scored, you know, the hat trick in 2.5 minutes. But just in general, you know, do you remember when he scored that hat trick? Actually, because you came over to my apartment to watch soccer.
Sure, soccer. Yeah, I feel like we've told this story a few times on the podcast before, and that I was walking over to your apartment and I was running a little behind, and that Southampton game was the early fixture, and I had it on TalkSport Live on my iPod, and I was waiting in line at Starbucks to get a coffee while I was walking over to your apartment. And while this is not an exaggeration, while waiting in line at Starbucks, he scored the hat trick. It was.
How was the line? I mean, 7 o'clock in the morning, how is the line at Starbucks that long?
People have places to go, Josh, and they go there. They go to these places at all hours.
Very Brooklyn. You're in a very hip neighborhood with your fancy Starbucks.
If it was that hip, people would not be up at 7 a.m., I can tell you that much.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, it's kind of a weird game week, Brandon, but we have one final section here, which is I put a call out on Twitter, a call/complaint out on Twitter, and I said I'm trying to figure out what the most exciting part of game week 38 will be. Champions League spots effectively locked up, relegation over, anything? And a few people wrote in with comments. Our friends Tim Shaw, Soccer Captains, wrote, don't forget about that highly contested Europa League spot.
Ho-ho! And
that is kind of true, right? I mean, I think I guess if Man City go to the Champions League, which they will almost certainly – yeah. Then I think the Europa League spot they would have won for winning the League Cup goes back into the Premier League, because the runner-up in the League Cup doesn't get that spot. So
right.
I think that West Ham would need to – I guess because if Southampton wins, they'd overtake West Ham if West Ham don't win. So West Ham would need to win to get the Europa League spot, assuming they want it. You know, I mean, yeah. But I think given the kind of team they have, I think that – I don't know about you, but doesn't the Europa League just seem – a little better than it used to be? Like, maybe because you win that Champions League spot. I don't know what it is, but it just seems – it's not like it's must-watch TV or anything like that, but I don't know. It's the games are also all on at like 3 o'clock on Thursdays, which as an American, it's like impossible to watch these matches. But I feel like there's a little more juice there.
I think it has benefited as Premier League fans. It has benefited from Tottenham and Liverpool being going so far in it this year.
Right.
Liverpool especially. It seemed like when Klopp got to Liverpool, he never had a proper chance to get into the top four, given where Liverpool started. And and he's got this vision to win the Europa League, which will miraculously get them in the Champions League, and therefore he will then dominate the Premier League from hence and heretofore. So the narrative, without a doubt, is there.
Yeah.
More than it ever has been. And this is coming from a Fulham fan, remembering longingly that Juventus game. So, I think more juice than ever. Definitely.
Yeah, and it's even though the Champions, it's still a cup. You know, it's still. I mean, like, they had to beat Borussia Dortmund over two legs. I mean, like, they've earned it. You know, I mean, they had to beat a pretty good Villarreal team too. So, you know, it's been a good run. It's not like they've ridden a bunch of, you know,
sure,
mediocre opponents on the way.
The rise of football hipsterdom also benefits the Europa League.
Yeah.
The Dortmunds of the world, Liverpool and Spurs now in this modern hipster age.
Right.
Europa is there for you, where you don't want to watch Bayern and Real Madrid play.
It's pretty impressive. I suppose if I'm sure that Man City's goal differentials, you know, if Man City were to lose and Man U were to lose and West Ham won, they would actually finish tied for fourth with Man City. I think that the goal differential is enough for Man City that they'd be in regardless. But really impressive of West Ham. And we don't need to go into this too much because everyone who plays fantasy was watching this game or paying attention to it. But it was kind of shocking, wasn't it, that Man U was up 2-1 with about 75 minutes played in that match. And it was like they collectively decided that they didn't want to play in the Champions League next year. I mean, that it's inexplicable. I mean, you're 15 minutes left. You got to be like all but rolling the ball into the corner with 15 minutes to go, right?
Stunning. I don't know. They just don't have the players, United. And that second goal by Martial, that was a solo effort. Like, he willed that. He willed that ball into the goal himself, and also Randolph also willed that ball into the goal. I don't know what he was doing there. That United team, they took Martial took those chances when he had them, but other than that, West Ham was all over that game. And I would say, on the whole, that was West Ham's game to lose, and they did not lose it.
I don't know. That wasn't my impression of the match. I felt like I mean, the momentum is, you know, a difficult thing to pin down, but certainly it felt like West Ham had them on they had Man U on the back foot for like the first half for sure. But I felt like the first, you know, 30 minutes of the second half, I felt like Man U was playing a little bit better. And then the last 15 minutes, I mean, it was just a completely different game.
Yeah, so you're talking about 30 minutes in which you thought Man U should have won the game.
Yeah, but the second half, I mean, you know, with 15 minutes left, I mean, you know, the second half they were better
until
they weren't, you know. But all credit to West Ham, certainly. But that is a hugely embarrassing loss for Man U.
It is. And my hot take on Man U is I think that's if I were a United fan, I would not be disappointed to see Louis van Gaal still there next season. Under the strict circumstance that they overhaul the squad, like, that squad is a disaster. I don't think that LVG is a problem for that team right now. I think that the players they have are garbage.
It's so hard to know. I mean, I do know that as a fan of as someone who can watch basically any two teams play in the Premier League at any time, you know, like I never have a bad time unless West Brom's involved.
Your fantasy team isn't doing very well.
Even then, I mean, you know, honestly, I really do enjoy. I can watch almost any Premier League match, but they have really been the least entertaining team to watch all season, and I don't know how much of that goes to Van Gaal, how much of that – I mean, it did feel like there was a time early on in the season. I mean, I think you could be onto something, because I think that, you know, early on, especially when Luke Shaw was still there, they really did seem like they were building something, you know. And Wayne Rooney was – when he was healthy, I mean, I actually don't know if – I mean, Wayne Rooney, I don't know if he's still battling injuries or if it's just over for him. You know, I'm not a big enough Man U fan to answer that question, but – yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens next year. I don't know. Yeah.
It is interesting. I mean, the Rooney conversation is like not even interesting to have at this point, but they've had some great youth players come up, but the players they brought in, like Schneiderlin, Schweinsteiger, both terrible.
yeah.
Martial, great signing. Obviously a great signing.
Yeah.
But what else is happening there?
I think the youth players, I mean, I think that there's...
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
you have to credit Louis van Gaal for bringing them into the team, I suppose.
I don't even necessarily disagree with you about Van Gaal, but I can understand the fan frustration with him because, you know, they have not been a fun team to watch this year, and they yeah. really weren't any fun last year either. So it's the age old question of who
is responsible. Is it the backroom staff making these transfers, or is it Van Gaal who's making them? And ultimately, if it is Van Gaal who brings in Schweinsteiger, then and Depay, I mean, I assume he has a lot to do with Depay, given right. the Dutch connection. Then maybe he does have to be hung out to dry.
If he doesn't come back next year, I can certainly understand why.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Scott Gill says, back to things to look forward to in Game Week 38, the intriguing battle between Arsenal and Villa and that confused look from Wenger. that sounds like fun. I do feel in my bones that somehow this match will be like 0-0 or 1-0 or something dumb's going to happen in this match. Just because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess they have enough to play for that they're going to have to feel the strong side. This isn't like last year where I think last year they didn't really have anything to play for. And that's why Theo Walcott got such a run out. Theo Walcott might start in this match just because they need to shop him in the window. There's a lot of talk that West Ham may be buying him for like around £20 million.
By the way, speaking of the West Ham Arsenal connection, I was on Instagram today, and today Carl Jenkinson took over the Arsenal Instagram feed.
Is he back at Arsenal again?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. It was the most surreal thing. It was basically just pictures of Jenkinson hanging out in the back rooms of the Arsenal offices. And that guy is a weird guy.
Yeah, he's kind of a weird guy. Remember there was that story about him being like the son of Rick Astley? This is like a couple years ago. There was this, yeah.
Some I believe weird, it. Yeah. Never going to give you up. Never going to say goodbye. Love it.
Dave from Burnley had a few different comments. He was kind of like working me from different angles, trying to find something to get me excited. I felt like he took it upon himself to find a way to get to be, yeah, there's some good stuff here. There's some fun stuff.
Okay, this is what your wife goes through on a nightly basis, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Dave from Burnley says, I can get worked up about Giroud versus Villa. I said, I can't. that one's not going to do it for me, mostly because Giroud did look really good against I wouldn't be surprised if Giroud did extremely well on this Villa match. Sure. I think he's definitely a captain option.
And he's looking ahead to the Euros as well, wanting to come out with some momentum.
Yeah, I can't really get that worked up with it. I'm just so frustrated with Arsenal. I mean, I don't know any Arsenal fan. I don't know how we're getting through the last half of the season because the title was laid out for them. You know, they really should have won this year.
Oh, when Welbs did his knee again, they showed these highlights of him scoring that game-winning goal against Leicester. And I remember those scenes of like, it's ours. Like, we have our hands on the title.
We were at the Football Factory, which is an Arsenal supporters bar, and that is to say there's a lot of Arsenal supporters there, and they were going nuts. I mean, like, absolutely losing their mind. Understandably so. I mean, it's as dramatic as it gets, and you just thought, this could happen. And then, of course, you know, but then Welbs is not – I mean, this is, like, completely off topic, and I won't go on this for too long, but they didn't buy a striker, you know? And Welbeck is a good player, but he's not really a striker exactly. He's not a great striker, certainly, and – Giroud, you know, hadn't scored in 15 weeks, and they have hundreds of millions of dollars, and Wenger doesn't feel like he wants to. I mean, as an Arsenal fan, I honestly can't even the thought of going into next season with Arsene Wenger as the manager is like so painful to me because it will never end. It will never end until he goes. If he is their manager next year, they have a less than zero. They have a negative percent chance of winning the league. They cannot win the league with him. It will not happen.
Yeah.
For a host of reasons I won't even go into right here. They don't even involve money, but also
it is a Brett Easton Ellis book, basically.
It's less than zero. Exactly. Okay, so Dave then says Chelsea-Leicester could be a goal fest. I agree with him on that front. That should be a fun match to watch. It's such a coronation. It's so cool that it worked. I mean, it would have been awesome if they had to actually win that match to win the league, but it's still cool that they basically get the coronation, you know, the guard of honor, you know, Chelsea. certainly less pathetic than they've been the last, you know, a lot better the second half of the season. And so, you know, I think they can pass the title on to Leicester and not feel too embarrassed about.
Sure, and they love Ranieri there, and Ranieri will obviously.
That's true. Yeah, that's true too. Then he also said that second and fourth are still being battled. We talked about that earlier. I'm not too excited about that. Although, you know, talk to me 80 minutes of the match when Andre Ayew has scored his fourth goal for for Swansea. final comment of the regular season goes to Jack McKinnon. Thing he's excited about is Gomez bookending the season with goals and Panther celebrations to beat Man City, and Man United goes to the Champions League. Now, that would be amazing, and maybe it'll happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Man City's going to win like 6-0, but it'd be amazing if it did. We'll see.
I don't know if there's any chance that Tim Gomez actually starts this game. I think that there's probably no chance at that point.
He did score. There's a chance. There's always a chance.
What a body on that guy, Tim Gomez. What a body.
I tweeted this, and I couldn't believe he did the full goal. I mean, he was so worthless. They were in the relegation zone because of Gomez, effectively, you know, inability to score.
I just love that we're talking about him going into Game Week 38 because – go with me, Josh, all the way back to the end of game week 4.
I remember it well.
Tim Gomez has just
I was on my safari, if I remember correctly.
You were, and I contacted you via your satellite phone. And I said, can you believe it? 4 straight games, 4 straight goals for Buffa Timmy Gomez.
No bonus points, of course, because he gets 9 offsides a match.
No bonus points. And he said, yes, Brandon, I can believe it. Because I can see a panther right now on my safari. but here we are talking about what a effing joke he is, poor guy.
So let's hope that the Gomez does score, because I do love that goal celebration despite the impudence of doing it in game 37. Let's hope that Dan Mercy Mbakani does something. It would just be fun if he really ended the season in a bang. I'm not even sure if we'll start. Norwich have nothing to play for, so maybe Alex Neil just goes back to the well, just more Cameron Jerome missing chances and, you know, looking like he doesn't know what he's doing out there.
I think Alex Neil is just going to jam a bunch of morphine into his arm, at the end of this game. He's just going to be like, I'm out. I'm done.
Good Honestly, you can't give him too much credit for, I mean, their defense has been terrible all season. They didn't really buy anybody. I don't know if you blame, you know, is that a Norwich problem or is that an Alex Neil problem? It's hard to know. Probably more of a ownership issue.
He's up there with a Steve McLaren sort of appointment of, if you guys weren't wise to how ill-managed this team was for this long in the season, like, you deserve to go down. Like,
yeah,
Alex Neil should have been done away with a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not an Eddie Howe situation. You know, Eddie Howe is a Bournemouth legend who, you know, has really, like, he's part of that club. You know, I mean, Bournemouth could have scored 22 points this season and gone down, and now, you know, Eddie Howe wouldn't have lost his job. But, you know, Alex Neil was appointed the second half of the season for Norwich last year, and yeah, he brought him up, but, you know, usually that manager never, like, they often just fire that manager before the season even starts.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what Watford did, and it worked out great.
Isn't Bournemouth staying up basically the equivalent of Leicester City winning the league? Like, it's a miracle.
It is. I think it's because there's no one to latch onto on that team that it has, other than Eddie Howe. I mean, because every week it's a different player that's
scoring. Eddie Howe never got injured.
Yeah, it does feel like smoke and mirrors of that Bournemouth team. You know, like, I don't know how they're doing it, but it's and now it's going to be Bournemouth and Burnley next year.
It's okay, crazy. So this will be a question for our wrap up pod next week. How likely Bournemouth is to go down next season? Yeah. I mean, which we can clearly predict right now.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I think I know Angel De Maria. They're shopping him. You know, so he's. No, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
Yeah, what kind of player does Bournemouth bring in the offseason? They're going to get all this TV money.
Mobicani, dog.
That's true. That's true. But I don't think they can afford it. I mean, that's got to be a $60-70 million transfer.
I mean, it's going to be shopping spree in that Newcastle squad. Shelvey, Wijnaldum, Sissoko.
I'm waiting for you to name a good player.
Darlow.
Oh, what about our friend? I mean, we're losing
Mr. Yellow. Oh, Cool Guy Krul.
Tim Krul.
Oh, he was left with a broken whatever he had on the sidelines to just see his squad go down.
I'm looking at it. I just pulled up his picture on the fantasy
Premier League. Oh, yeah. Whenever you're feeling down, just Google Tim Krul and think Cool Guy Krul. And there you are. There you are.
I think those are nice party notes for this podcast. That is a
good positive note. Okay, so basically we're offering you no advice going into Game Week 38, but we wish you good luck.
We do wish you good luck. We wish ourselves good luck. And we wish Mobicani the best of luck. And right. So next week we're going to do just a little end of year wrap up. I know we talked about doing a poll. I don't know if that's going to happen just because
it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's very time consuming.
We're gonna lean on our listeners to provide.
How much
some
do you
content.
Really care about fantasy once the season's over? You know.
Oh so, yeah, guess what? Mahrez was the MVP.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll just do a little wrap up. It won't be as long as normal. We'll probably do 30 minutes or something like that. But stay tuned for that next week. And good luck this weekend. And of course, find us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Yeah, good luck. And if you don't listen to the wrap up podcast because you're like, fuck this, I'm done. we'll be back probably, I would think, when the right around the time that the next game
launches and the prices are announced and all that.
Mid-July or something like that. So we'll do a special pot around that time.
Yeah, stick with us. And if you subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and all those places, you'll obviously just get updated whenever we update the podcast. So, yeah, thanks for listening. See you guys next week.
See you next week.
Hail Cheaters. Poku forever, Josh.
And hail Mobicani. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, Mobicani forever. All right, well played. All right.